I can't imagine my mother's fear on the night I was born. It was April 3rd, 1941. She and 200 other women, all waiting to give birth, were gathered in the dark, airless basement of a hospital in Kiel, Germany. Bombs from the Allied forces of World War II thundered around them. Sirens screamed. The ground shook with one explosion after another, and she must have felt so alone and so terrified as she lay there praying for the safe delivery of her child. I arrived just in time. The next day, shortly after she took me home, another swarm of bombs destroyed the hospital where I took my first breath. I was named Hans-Jörg Gudegast, the third of four boys born to remarkable parents who did their best to give us as normal a childhood as possible in the midst of that war's unspeakable obscenities. Kiel was a port city, and because submarines and warships were built there, it was a popular target for the Allies, as was Hamburg, 70 miles away. In fact, by the time the war was over, some 500,000 bombs had been dropped day and night in Kiel alone. 500,000 bombs that destroyed 96% of a city where good people and innocent children lived. I was 4 years old when World War II ended. My memories of it come in brief flashes that still haunt me. Deafening explosions and massive fires that lit up the countryside. Our parents frantically carrying us to the basement at the first roar of approaching Allied bomber squadrons. Burning farms and helpless screaming animals in flames. My teenage brother hoisting me onto his shoulders to see the city of Hamburg transformed into an inferno by firebombs that killed tens of thousands of civilians in one night. Thousands of homeless, hungry people descending desperately on the farmlands around our village to dig for potatoes and kernels of wheat. As a little boy with nothing to compare them to, I wonder if I thought those horrors were normal, that they were simply part of what everyday life was like in this world. I was among the lucky ones for whom everyday life was happy for many years after the war ended. That nightmare had left plenty of devastation in its wake. Many neighboring farms lay decimated, and some of our teachers had returned from the Russian front with no legs or one arm and great bitterness. But my brothers and I quickly discovered that those farms and the rest of the countryside were wonderful places for four strong, healthy boys to work and play, that we happened to live in a big, beautiful house with three maids and two drivers, and that we were blessed with two extraordinary parents who loved us very much. Mother was a strong, proud, affectionate woman, a member of the landed gentry, who, I was told later, was thought by her family to have married below her class when she and my father found each other. She loved to laugh, and she had and needed limitless energy for four sons. She always made sure we presented ourselves well, especially in church, where we delighted in making her giggle against her will during the sermon, and on our Sunday afternoon walks through the village of Bredenbeek on the outskirts of Kiel, with our father, the local mayor. I was very close to my father. He was a man's man, warm and funny and highly respected. Although he only spanked me once when I was caught smoking behind the house at 11 years old, all it took was a look and a stern, simple, "boys," from him, and the four of us would instantly stop whatever misbehavior we were up to. He hosted frequent dinner parties at our house, sitting at the head of a table filled with his family and local dignitaries. I was notorious for hiding behind whatever dignitary I was seated beside and making faces so that I could watch everyone else at the table struggle not to laugh. And I could always hear a subtle amusement in his voice when my father scolded me for it after the guests went home. He had a gift with his sons. No matter how angry he was with us or how much we deserved it, of never making us feel disrespected by him, or less than adored. My brothers and I fought with each other as enthusiastically as we played, of course, and no fights were more predictable than those involving which of us was going to drive our father's car without his knowledge while he took care of business around town. He would take us with him on errands and disappear into some office or store, The fighting would begin, and within moments the winner would be behind the wheel, chauffeuring his brothers on a brief tour of the immediate vicinity, and then parking and hurriedly switching seats again before our father emerged and drove on to his next stop.